All right, folks, we are joined today with head coach Jimmy Obleda. We're very excited to ask him questions about how the first quarter of the season is gone. But, Coach, we know you're an avid listener and watcher of the Soccer Chat podcast. So we thought we'd start. How has the first quarter of the Soccer Chat season gone? What do you think?
Well, it's what my friends back in the day used to say. It's good from far, but far from good.
No, I'm in Soccer Chat with two T's because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
You got that perfect, Coach. Just going to say that was the exact answer we expected from you.
No, you guys are amazing.
Welcome to Soccer Chat, episode 11 for season 3. We are joined off the bat here by Coach Jimmy Obleda. Wolfman Jeff right now is away with some family business that he's attending to. So we miss him, or he may just, you know, make a grand entrance late in the show, kind of like how the Red Wolves finished most of their games. Coach Jimmy... You know, we're a quarter of the way through the season. If you look at points per game, we're pretty comfortably at the top of the table. We're sitting in second place with points overall. What do you make so far of how the season's gone for the Red Wolves?
I think we have to keep everything in perspective and everything, keep our feet on the ground. There's still a lot of season to play. There's still so much to go. I mean, again, I couldn't be happier with what the players and the young men have displayed so far, and their just everything about the group right now, and to be in a good position right now. But again, we're I think this group, and just all of us, everyone included, is just keeping everything very humble and working, and you know, there's still 21 more games to go for us, and the goal is to get into the playoffs and hopefully from there then go for a championship. But number one objective is to get in the playoffs.
So, Coach, one of the things about this team that we talked about early on in the season is that you had a lot of players that were either new to the team or even players that may have been here but had some injury stuff that they were recovering from early in the season. How are you feeling about how the roster is coming together and how people are solidifying their positions within the team?
Well, again, one of the biggest things that we did in the offseason with the GM, Sean McDaniels, and my assistant, Kevin, was we really wanted to create an environment that was competitive where every player felt that that everyone had a chance to play, like they could contribute and that they could be a starter. So allowing us, again, right now we've had a few injuries and a few guys that have not been able to perform or have played limited time minutes and have not contributed to what we'd hoped, but that's okay because other guys have stepped in. And again, one of the biggest things for us is that every player is important of the 22 on the roster. So again, I think it's been great that we've had guys that have come in that have done incredible things and done really well for the team. And that it's allowed for us to have the good start that we've had right now. And it's also allowed for guys to recover and get ready for now. Again, there's another 21 games to go, so we still have a long, long haul ahead of us.
So one of the things that you talked about coming into the year was really trying to find someone to be a number nine, a target man up front that's going to score goals for the team. Juan Galindres is in hot form right now, scored four goals in the last three games. Blake Frischknecht had a lot of opportunities against North Carolina, as, you know, very close to getting that first goal, but does have a couple assists. How's that battle going between them? What are you seeing from those guys as the season has gone on?
You know, it's funny because I would not call it a battle. You know, I was saying this to someone else the other day, and it's like the group is so tight. We talk about that position specifically, but I start with the group. You know, Blake is a quality person as well as Galindres. I mean, we talk about those two guys. they're happy for each other. You know what I mean? If one scores and one does well, and they want each other's success, because really the mantra of the team is if you succeed and he succeeds, we all succeed. So I think it's been a great competition amongst them and stuff, but not a competition of one being better than the other, or one wanting to outdo the other, but one where saying, you know, I'm going to do what I have to do to score a goal. And if I can't do it, I need you to come in and do it for the team. So it's an amazing, it's really great to see between those two, because they're both quality human beings, but they're quality soccer players as well and stuff. So I'm waiting. And for Blake, you know, Juan's been great for us. He's been solid coming off the bench and really being a difference maker for us. But you know, I'm really hoping for Blake, and not hoping. We're waiting for the right moment. It's gonna come. It's gonna come for him. And once one opens up, then a whole can of whoop, you know, whoop what, it's coming. So it's a matter of time before he. I don't know if I can say that on TV on YouTube, but you know, it's a matter of time. Once that boy gets his first one, then it's like, it's on, and it's coming.
So that battle between Galindrez and Blake, we've talked about before. What's a battle that we may not see, you know, on the field necessarily as obvious as that one, where they really are genuinely replacing each other, that you're seeing in practice that is really impressing you?
Well, that's a good one. You know, I think every day it's again, and I'm not trying to be, you know, very general, you know, general. I mean, you know, unfortunately right now, Capo and Luna, Capo's still recovering from a suspension dealing with suspension, and Luna's recovering from an injury. But I mean, again, I think in every position we have players that are challenging each other. Jackson Dietrich, I don't know, if came in the other day and was exceptional in the game, changed the game for us on the right side, really did what we asked him to do. And he's fighting for minutes, right? He's fighting for the opportunity to start, because he had a great start, or he had a great opportunity to make a difference. So I think if you look at the five guys up top, you look at España, Dietrich, Ortiz, and Hernandez, and again, taking out the two, Galindrez and Blake, which would make six. The fight between the six of those guys to fight for more minutes and to really influence the game. I mean, it's good to see every day.
So you mentioned Ray Ortiz, someone who came a little after the season started, has a really good pedigree. The Los Angeles Galaxy Academy, played with the Portland Timbers U23s, and played with FC Cincinnati and MLS. How has he fit into the team? And you know, what are we looking to see from him as the season goes forward?
I think what we're looking to see, number one, is an improvement. I mean, that young man has been, every day in training, he gets better. Every day he improves. Every day we start seeing, I mean, you guys, we have not seen yet 15% of what that kid's going to do. He's an exceptional soccer player with a, you know, dynamic, explosive speed, can finish. You know, he's something that we were looking at to bring in from again, we have Markey and we have España on the left. We were looking to have the same type of somebody dynamic on the right to play. And he's, every day he's getting better. So we're looking at him, and I've known Ray since he's 10 years old, back in the Cali days when the 97s played and stuff, and he was always a special player. So we're looking at him to really start owning into that position. Again, it's a fitness thing right now for him, because again, he hadn't really been in a competitive match since, I want to say, last September, October of the previous year. And coming in, and we're right ahead throwing him in into the game. Again, it's because we know what he's capable of doing, but I think we've only seen 15, maybe 19% of what he's going to be for us. And again, I think for us, again, it's only seven games in. The goal is to peak at the right moment. I don't think we've peaked yet. I think we're in a good place right now, and we're moving towards getting to a high level for everyone. And Ray's one of those players that we're hoping by August, September, he's really showing something where everyone's going, holy wow, that kid. We don't have another kid like that in the USL League One.
So another player that we're looking forward to as you start to build towards, you know, September, August, hopefully into the playoffs, is Rafa Mensingen, right? We haven't got a chance to see him yet other than his thighs on social media. Can you give us an update on where he's at and how that's progressing? Or you can just kind of blow me off and say, no, I'm not giving anything away.
No, you know, I mean, again, I have no problem saying stuff. I mean, we're talking about Rafa, right? Rafa Mensingen,
yeah.
I mean, you know, the best way I can say is Rafa is the X factor. And the moment that Rafa, we're waiting for him to be at 100% to throw him out and have him, what's the word I'm looking for? Unleash the hounds, you know, release, you know, the Kraken type of thing. So we're waiting for him to be 100%. And once he's ready to do that, again, he's a player that once he gets out, once he steps on the field, we don't want to take him out anymore. So we're taking him gradually. Again, I keep saying this, we're only a fourth of the way through. Although I feel like I've aged 10 years in the last 7 games. I can't imagine what the next 21 games are going to look like, but he's a young man that we have such high expectations for, but we want to make sure that once we have him out, once we have him on the field, that we're not going to take him out. So hopefully sooner than later, but we need to be smart about him. We need to be very smart because we can't risk anything with him.
So Adam is going to hold his breath like a toddler until you can guarantee him that Rafa is going to play this Saturday against Greenville. So as we get ready for this,
you game, won't have to hold it that long, Rock.
We've played that first quarter. You've talked about how you're aging with all these late winners. We've got some really important games against teams at the top of the table coming up. Do you think maybe you could maybe win one by a couple goals? Here's an idea, just a thought. I don't know. You guys score a couple goals early and then just see it out.
I doubt the coach has thought of that.
Have you talked about that?
We did, but that happened at Tucson, and look what happened to us there.
Ooh, well done.
Touché.
Well done.
You know, listen, we approach the games and we want to do well, and the games are what they are. You know, we have to find ways. Again, as a coach, I consider myself a young coach. I'm learning. It's about getting results and fight. Sometimes it's whatever it takes to get the result. You know what I mean? So, would I love to win a game 4-5-0 or 3-0 in Cruz? Yeah, I think every coach would love that. But unfortunately, that's not the reality of it. The reality is we have to grind through things. And I think, again, for a young team and a team that's really, I mean, guys, we've only really played together 7-8 games, I mean, including 9, let's say 9 games with the preseason, 7 meaningful games. We have a young group of guys that have really, they're growing into each other. They're growing in. So again, these are things, I think a lot of things we go through are things that we're learning as a team and collectively, that's only going to make us better as we progress through the season.
I think it's a testament to, the style that you have set up and the execution that these young men have had that, you know, every time we get to the end of a game, we're all confident that that goal scoring opportunity is going to come up. You know, you guys are a never say die team, and you've shown that you aren't going to quit. You're going to keep fighting until that very end. Something you talked about when you first came to Chattanooga, and we've been able to see that this season.
Yeah, so I think it goes. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was gonna say it's kind of a follow up to what you are seeing this season. To that, like this, we've had 3 home games. We've got 3 wins. What has the difference been having so many more fans in the stands, as it's been able to be completely different than last year with what, you know, restrictions and stuff?
Listen, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. You guys, and I encourage you guys with the fans and with all the supporters, I don't think you guys understand the impact you have in the game with us. I don't think you do. the proximity to the field, the encouragement. It's you know, I don't know if there's many places in USL League One. I haven't gone to Ford Madison yet, but I've seen them on ESPN Plus where the fans are all about it and stuff. I don't think there's many places in USL League One that have an environment that we have that that is so intense and so involved and so pressure. That's probably the it puts so much pressure on the opponent. I for all the fans and you guys that talk with all the supporters and stuff, I don't want to say fans, but supporters, you are so important to this. I mean, the ability, again, us being on the field, hearing you guys and listening and the sound and the intensity of everything, really, you don't understand the energy it gives the players. And we talk about it, the team talks about it in the locker room, and they, you know, they really take pride in saying that we owe it to these people that have come out and that to support us, and we owe it to the fans that have come, and we owe it to, you know, everyone, the little kids, and really, they've taken it to heart to create that movement. We call it, we kid around, we call it the Red Wolves movement. When we went to FC Tucson and having 250 people there just supporting us, that doesn't happen every day. You know what I mean? So for us to come home and have that support, it's something that, again, we ask you and we implore you, please continue that, because it's what gets us across the finish line. Those last 10 minutes of the game, when where it's 1-1 or 2-1 and we got, or 1-0, we got to get a result. It's you guys that push us through. It's, and you give us that extra energy that again, it's home field advantage, right? Of playing in our stadium.
So just there, like Juan Galindrez, Wolfman Jeff has come in at the end to save the podcast. Jeff, you got any questions for Coach Obleda?
Well, I don't know what was already asked. So first of all, boy, that's a great screensaver you have behind you there. It looks pretty great. That's pretty. Hey, Coach. So, all right, you've got Greenville coming in, and so let me know, how do you approach a team like Greenville coming off the heels of a North Carolina, which is a very young team and a lot of them unproven, to a team that's a little more of a known quantity but has been a bit of a thorn in our side? So how do you approach that match a little differently?
I think, you know, you approach them the two extremities, right? I mean, or extremities? Two extremes.
Extremities.
Yeah. Thank you. Two extremes. extremities, a little different. Two extremes. I mean, you had an NCFC team that was very young and inexperienced, and you have a Greenville team who's very experienced and older. You know, we've had these talks with the guys during the week saying, you know, you haven't played a team like them yet. They're seasoned. They know what they're there for. They've been around. They've done it at every, you know, again, like the left back, Polak, who's done it at all levels. So, again, you deal with the predictability of their play. You know what they're going to throw at you. It's not like they're going to do something very different. They don't do anything different. So how do we deal with their predictability, and how do we stifle that they're what they're able to do and take advantage of what we do? So again, it's just two extremes that you know, from NCFC and approaching a team like Greenville, who, you know, nobody takes away, they're still the champion, they're the reigning champion, and we need to be very conscious of that, and we need to come in and do what we do well and take away the things that allow them to be successful.
I had talked to Jono after the match this past Sunday, and of course, the reference made to the Cardiac Wolves, and he had commented that that's a nickname he'd like to be done away with in the past. So what's the plan to get it to where it's less dramatic at the end and actually getting the win a little more secure earlier on? Or was that already asked?
We didn't ask it nearly as well as you asked it, but we asked the question.
That's why I'm the senior correspondent.
Well, so to make it short, the goal is to score three goals in the first 15 minutes. And if we don't do that, we'll score three goals in the last 10.
That works. That works. Hey, Coach, we can't thank you enough for joining us for the first part of this. All the luck on Saturday. And thanks so much for giving our listeners and watchers an opportunity to hear from you. It means a ton.
Thanks, Coach.
No, it's always a pleasure. You guys are the best. And I look forward to seeing you guys on Saturday. And it's going to be a great place. And it's going to be a great game. And we're looking forward to having everybody out there.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was head coach Jimmy Obleda. That's a deep cut there if anyone doesn't get that reference.
That cuts deep, man. That really does cut deep.
So as we look at the first quarter of the season, I thought it'd be fun to do some awards. I don't have a ton, but let's just start with, guys, who so far in the first seven games would be your MVP of the Red Wolves?
I'll let Jeff go first.
Oh, thanks. The guy who just came in here is trying
that
to...
That way I can steal whatever he does.
Well, I've gone back and forth because for 90 minutes, I'm going with Ricky Ruiz because he's constantly pushing it, constantly creating chances. But the MVP for changing the game when he comes on, it's usually not the second half. I'm going to go with Marky Hernandez. So it's Ricky for 90, Marky for the last 20.
So I'm going to somewhat take a bit of a cop out here and actually give the MVP to Coach Obleda because his changes that he has made has had consistent and quality impact on the game. And he hasn't always brought in the same players every time. So he's shown an ability to adjust based off of what he's seeing on the field. And without those adjustments, we have a lot more ties and possibly some more losses.
You know, Adam, I'm noticing that happening more and more. So as the season progresses, I think, one, he's had players get more healthier. But I'm thinking, Adam, he's realizing the potential and what he has and what pieces he has. But good call.
He's not on the show anymore. You don't have to suck it to him. We said MVP, not MVC. But that's fine.
I said it was a cop-out.
I'm going with Juan Galindres. His four goals they're responsible for at least 5 points that we have in the table, saving us a couple of games. So I think he's been a difference maker coming off the bench and getting those goals and finding those opportunities and really being able to attack tired center backs that are out there and it's shown and. You know, helped us get the results we need to be where we are in the table. Who is y'all's biggest surprise?
Well, I'm going to go for Galindres for surprise insofar as we knew he was supposed to be tanky, but at first we really didn't see what that was like because we've had other players in the past come in for that role and be advertised as a hot foot, if you will, and not really live up to it. So I think partly because it took him a couple of matches to really get into it. But I think he's really surprised a lot of people. We were looking for it, but I think a lot of fans he's coming out of nowhere for him, and he's been brilliant.
So for me, it's Espana. I don't think he was somebody that even the coach was expecting to have the impact he had, and he definitely has had a significant impact. He is consistently he's consistently getting a lot of minutes in each game, which I don't think was ever the plan for him. Now, part of that is because of the fact that we've had a lot of some injuries that have given him the opportunity, but he's taken every chance he's been given and done well with it. So I will go with Espana as mine.
I am going to go with Daniel Navarro. He played the one game with the Red Wolves, and I remember thinking, gosh, this guy really is a quality player. And then he saw that Slovakian mob hit and ended up in witness protection and then moved on and was playing with some other clubs. But he has really impressed me with his ability to stay composed on the back line, to really, you know, make incisive passes that get up the field and put players in good positions to attack, you know, kind of flip the field with the way that he can play, his comfort on the ball. He doesn't give up silly fouls around the box that lead to dangerous free kicks. So I've been really impressed with him and think he's done a great job. I knew he was a quality player from, you know, seeing him a little bit and knowing that he had played in kind of some higher levels, USL Championship and the like. But he really has shown me, been a surprise to me as a very solid player. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was going to say, I've been surprised how fast he is and how agile, and it's getting more and more. It's like he's taking lessons from Markey, but he's doing it on the back line. So he's stealing the ball away. So he's not just stopping it, but he's stealing it so we control the ball. So it's one thing to kick the ball out and then they go again, but he's getting it so we maintain possession. So he's very smart with it, and I'm really surprised how fast he is. I do want to give a shout out to Jimmy Villalobos and to Carrera Garcia. They've been doing much better than I had anticipated. They've been very valuable.
So what's been the favorite play so far of the year that you guys have watched? I'll give you mine to let you kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. So the whole sequence leading up to Jonathan Rickett's goal, I loved. the header that was saved that led to Jonathan Rickett's header that got saved. And he, you know, head in his hands was like, oh my gosh, I missed it. And then it managed to squeak back out and get crossed back in for his goal. The whole sequence there, it was a lot of fun and very memorable for a guy's first career goal.
That's totally what I was going to go with. But since you did that, I'm going to go, and I hope this wasn't what Adam was going to do. I'm going to go for the first goal this weekend from Galindres. Part of it was the beauty of the goal and the control, but also I'm adding in the fan experience, what it was like to bring us back right there in front of the fans, because it was his first goal at CHI Memorial. Mm-hmm. And so with all of that grouped in there together, the goal itself, but the fan interaction with that, and we just felt very connected with that club. It's on par with when who was it that jumped over the fence and joined the fans?
That was Eamon.
Yeah, it was Eamon Zayed. So it was like that kind of feeling of connectedness.
Yeah, so I was actually going to go with a Galindres goal, but not that Galindres goal. So I'm going with the one he scored in the 89th minute after we gave up the game-tying goal versus FC Tucson in the 85th minute. Mm-hmm. The fact that we didn't just sit back and say, all right, well, we're on the road. We're getting our point. It stinks that we've let him back in. And we got that last fight, and it was definitely a fight-type goal and a good build-up to it. So that's, for me, that was the big deal. I watched the Ford Madison Greenville game, and we did the exact opposite of what Ford Madison did. Ford Madison, when they gave up that game tying penalty, they basically decided, all right, well, let's get our tie and get out of here. And that was not the attitude of our coach. And I think that goal really solidified for me that this is a coach that's going to do what he says he's going to do, which he's told us before. He would much rather fight for 3 points than get the tie. Because his logic was, if I have 3 games like that and I lose 2 of them and win 1, I get the exact same as if I went for the tie. But if I win 2 of those and lose 1, I'm coming out ahead with more points. And so I thought that's, for me, that was the game.
All right. Well, speaking about Greenville, we have them coming up this Saturday, and we're going to be very excited to see what they bring. They, as Adam said, midweek, they had a 2-2 draw against Madison coming back in Greenville from being 2 goals down. So, book report time. I'm going to tell you, I'm a little more comfortable. Had Greenville lost that game, I would have been very worried about kind of the wounded tiger coming in, having lost 2 straight, including one to Tormenta. So the fact that they were able to battle back in that game and get the draw makes me feel a little more comfortable about them coming to town. But guys, what do you think about Greenville as they come to CHI Memorial?
Well, I hear that we're going to be seeing a return with Alex Morrell back, but he's not really had the same impact this year he's had in the past. I think the guy to really pay attention to is Marios Lumas. And he's leading their team by 8 goals. So he scored more goals than the rest of the team. But of course, I think Coach mentioned Pollock, Don Smart. Obviously, Dallas J is a quality keeper. So there's a lot to be watching there. But I think Lomas is the one. They have to take him out.
Yeah, Dallas J doesn't worry me. Like, I just don't. He's not a keeper. Like, if I'm ranking keepers, he doesn't come to mind. Like, he's serviceable. But, you know, he gets his hand, like, basically, he gets his game handed to him in all the games that he plays for the national team. And I think if you get enough shots, and Lord knows we get enough shots, you're going to get some through on him. He's not what worries me. What worries me about them is they are well coached, they are well organized, they are built with veterans, and a veteran team coached well like that doesn't make mistakes. And it seems like we're somewhat built to build off of other teams' mistakes to a point. Our speed, the young kind of hungry attitude, feast off of mistakes, and this is not a team I expect to see a lot of mistakes from. That said, Greenville does. If you would have asked me this 4 games ago, I'd be much more worried about them. But their results of late haven't been great, right? I mean, they've got 2 losses and a draw in their last 4 games, and I don't think those were flukes. I think the draw was more of a fluke. I think, you know, I feel like Ford would really like to go back and flip their jerseys back around and play like they played in the first half because they were a different team in the second half. So now, I mean, I'm expecting us to win, and I'm not that excited about Greenville. I just don't think it's the same team that it was last year. And if you look at the stats, and this is going to drive Alex nuts yet again, but
nerd, you know, alert.
Expected goals is a big deal to me, and we had the largest range between our expected goals and North Carolina's in this last game ever in the history of USL League One, and the second largest in the history of the USL going back 20 years. That's doesn't create flukes. The fluke is that we're not scoring more, not that we're getting the goals that we are getting. And so when you look at those stats and you look at what theirs are, everything points our direction. We have a higher expected goal at home. They have a lower expected goal away. Like, everything kind of points that this should be a game we should win.
Yeah, if we play as we've been playing, such as not giving up on the goal, because I think we've done that in seasons past, that we kick it in and maybe a second, but we're going at it 4 or 5 times each time that we get up there. We do that, we're going to be getting the goals in. So I'm feeling it's going to be high scoring on our end. And so the real key is trying to make sure that they don't run away on the other end. So, because they can put the points up, but our defense, it can, you know, it that's really going to be key for us. I think we're going to score enough goals to win, but whether or not we shut them down, I think is going to be key. Does that make sense? Alex gave a really confused look, but he does that to me a lot. I don't know why.
That's Alex trying to multitask.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Don't tell the people that I might have a job interview with soon. So we now I've lost my train of thought. Do you guys, as far as the team, we tried to get Coach Jimmy to tell us all of the secrets of people coming back. I'm sorry, now my computer's playing noise.
I'm enjoying it. Just keep the music going.
Okay, it's kind of a
totally professional podcast. We tried to get Coach Obleda to give us all the scoop on everyone's injuries. Adam held his breath like a toddler to try to get him to guarantee Rafa Mensigan will play. And he just, you know, he didn't bite. But nope. Do you guys have any lineup changes you're expecting?
Yeah, if Rafa had mentioned on Sunday he could play, but honestly, I think if Rafa plays, I would be surprised if he starts. As we've been looking at how injured players have been coming back into the lineup, I think Coach prefers to bring him in later on the second half. So what I'm thinking, he would take that spot that Rowe has been bringing in on that second half. So I don't think he's going to be coming out. The only change I could really see is Glendrez coming on for Frischi, but is it the fact that he's coming in the second half where that power is coming from? I don't know. It's working, but that's really the only change I could see.
So the one I would say that you might see that might surprise us is I wouldn't be surprised if Jackson Dietrich earned himself a start. The coach really talked highly about him when he was here interviewing with us earlier, and I think he's done a lot. But the only problem with that is, you know, where is he coming in? Because Ray Ortiz has pretty much solidified that right side, and which is where he came in before. So is he coming for Villalobos more centrally? I don't know, but I could see Jackson Dietrich be the one guy who they bring on. I don't think you're going to see any changes to the back line. He kind of referenced that he's still got some injuries going on there. He seemed to indicate that he's sticking with Blake, is the impression I got in the starting role. So I don't know that you're going to see a change there either. So what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. From what Coach Ableda told us during the interview, he seems very happy bringing Galindrez off the bench to be that change of pace, very much like Markey. And so I don't, you know, maybe if it's the sort of thing where Rafa's ready to go, maybe you start Markey and you've got a heck of a 1-2 punch where those guys are able to each give you, you know, 45, or one of them give you 60, the other give you 30 really good minutes of just an absolute headache with their speed and their ability on the ball. And so maybe you see that, or maybe, you know, we wait till later where we can get the one on each side. And instead of kind of overloading as we've been doing, you know, every time Markey, it was like when I'm playing FIFA on easy and I've decided I want a particular player to score, the Red Wolves were feeding Markey the ball against North Carolina last Saturday. It felt like every time they got that ball, they were waiting for a chance to just swing it out there to that left side and let Markey do what he does. And it, of course it worked out. So, you know, kudos, but other than maybe something like that, I really feel like there's not going to be many changes made here. So painful predictions. What do you guys think is going to happen?
Who's going to go first? We're like the good, the bad, the ugly. It's like a Mexican, standoff.
I feel like based off of that, if I go third, I become the ugly. I want to be the good, so I'm going to go first. I'm going 2-0 Red Wolves, and I'm going to say that we score in the first half, and then we score late in the second, but a 2-0 victory, clean sheet.
All right, I'm going to be the bad, just because I want to leave the last one for my friend. And I'm going to go same spread, but I'm going to go with 3-1. Three has been a magic number for us lately. And even though Mora has been a decent keeper, he's still vulnerable. So I think they might squeak one by.
Yeah. I'm not expecting a shutout. I see us scoring a goal in the first half. Everyone's happy. Everyone's getting a beer at halftime. We're excited. I see Greenville being a quality team, organized team, coming out in the second half, scoring 2 goals against us. And I see us keeping our form, a late goal to tie. I see this game as a 2-2 tie. My entire week has been an emotional roller coaster, so Saturday ought to just be the part where the roller coaster is going backwards through the loop. And so that's what the Red Wolves are going to do to me in the game.
That seems fair.
Yeah. You know, I think what when we look for sponsors, I'm wondering if maybe they should seek out some heart specialist to be there for the hospital.
I mean, it is CHI Memorial Stadium.
Yeah. And CHI Memorial is where the heart like that's what's funny is we've got two major hospitals in the Chattanooga area, and CHI Memorial is the one you go to if you have heart issues.
Yeah.
So, I just find that interesting. All right. So I'm going to steal some of Alex's thunder and skip to the next section, which is a soccer roundup. Alex and I got a chance to go down to the Dalton Red Bulls game on Tuesday. If you haven't got a chance as a season ticket holder to go to a Dalton Red Bulls game, I highly advise going. It's included in your season ticket package. It's a very laid back atmosphere. What was your thoughts, Alex?
I was impressed by a lot of the individual skill that I saw from the Dalton Red Wolves players. I would have liked to have seen a little more team play. I don't know if it's, you know, if it's just kind of the nature of the team they have this year, if it had to do with the team that they were playing. You know, that was always kind of my gripe about NPSL was, you know, a team that was not good could come in and could kick the ball hard and could, you know, go into heavy tackles and argue with the referee and just kind of make a game ugly. And that's a bit what this felt like. There was just a lot of boom balling that would have had Chattanooga Red Wolves Academy coaches' heads in their hands, and a lot of physicality as they're trying to position each other to win headers and settle the ball. And so it was a little choppy, but three goals, and they were all pretty high quality, you know, performances on those and putting things together and scoring the goal. So overall, it was a fun night, beautiful weather. The facility is a nice facility, you know, Lakeshore Park down in Dalton. It's close to downtown. If you're going to go down, you know, you can eat at one of the great restaurants that they have in their downtown area, and you're not far from getting over there to the park. So tickets are $5 if you don't have the season pass. But like Adam said, season pass, you get in free.
Very cool.
So congrats to them. Also, they won against Peachtree City Mobile on Saturday. So we've got a two-game winning streak, and they are just below kind of the playoff qualifier line. So things are looking up for Dalton Red Wolves.
Very good. Very good.
So you've got something else on our sheet that I don't know much about, but because I honestly haven't kept up with a team in Utah. Am I reading this correctly? There were 8 total goals against the Colorado Rush. Is that right?
So they played 2 games over the weekend against Colorado Rush. They won one game 2-1. And then the other game they won 6-2. So 8 total goals against Colorado Rush over the 2 games, 2 victories, and they are sitting at first place in their conference.
Well, so, very good.
So one of our current Red Wolves, if you guys don't know, played for Park City in their first year of existence, and you know, that was Ro Pineda. I wonder if we got another one possibly that we might be able to see. Was there anybody specific that was scoring those goals, or was it all over the place?
I think it was spread around. I don't know for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, still, that's pretty nuts.
That is crazy. That is good.
So I want to go back. We forgot something really important to Alex, Jeff, and I think we need to do this.
Okay.
We haven't talked at all about the power rankings for League One. Not once.
No. Oh, we have not. Well, let me see if I can get that brought up, unless you've got it. But I think I can get that brought up for you here. Hold on.
So finally, there's something worth reading in the power rankings. Not just, oh, let's get mad because this team is ranked 4th instead of 7th. If you're reading the intro to the power rankings, he goes into Adam's little nerd stat.
Oh.
And talks about how, based on expected goals, you know, a lot of people probably are wanting to write off what the Red Wolves have done this season based on scoring late. Oh, they're just lucky. They're scoring, you know, they're getting balls bouncing their way late in games. That's not going to last. Well, if you look at Adam's nerd stat, which is just basically what I'm going to refer to it from now on as, the Red Wolves are earning those late goals. The way that Coach Obleda has set up his team and the way that the players are executing that plan, you know, basically they're the water winding away the rock and creating the valley. It's expected to happen over time based on the chances that they're creating and the way that they're pressing the game. So there you go. We're not just lucky. We're good.
Yeah, and so the other thing that, you know, because this is the part that drives Alex nuts, I'm going to complain real quick about a couple things. Number one, I get that they've won some games in a row, They just lost, but this came out before that happened. I get that they've won some games in a row, but maybe don't have an under 500 team above the team with one of the best records in the league. Maybe don't have them above all these other teams that are, you know, over 500. Just saying, like, yeah, I get that they've won some games in a row, and I get it's a power rankings, but really, you raised them four spots? Come on.
Yeah. So,
I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah, I'm just kind of just taking all this in. But if we win against Greenville, how do you think, are we going to maintain two, or are they going to find a reason to keep us at two? Or does that?
Yeah, they're going to leave us at two so that Adam can complain in next week's podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. They're going to wait till we play Omaha. We're going to tie Omaha, and they're going to leave Omaha there in perpetuity, regardless of what else happens.
I can be almost positive the writer of that doesn't pay any attention to this podcast. If you do, I dare you to mention Adam in your write-up next week.
I would never hear the end of it. Please don't.
And thanks for listening. But I'm pretty sure he doesn't, but he's still just a troll. Adam is going to leave us at second, even if we won like 5-0.
Yeah. Just a troll Adam.
That seems fair. All right. So let's move on. Let's move to the other side of the other side of the pond. Another comment that annoys Alex. I'm really just piling on trying to get as much frustration in him as possible. Have you guys been filling out your Euro brackets for Euro 2020 and 2021?
Well, let's see. I've got. Oh, so, sorry. I didn't mean to.
Did you guys? Did you see Luka Modric there break Adam's heart with the Golasso outside of his foot?
Why gotta go there? Why gotta go there?
You know, you knew what he was. You knew what he was.
Does Adam enjoy the fact that despite Harry Kane having something like 50-1 odds to win the Golden Boot, he has yet to score in this tournament?
I do enjoy that, but
yeah,
you know, I not as much as I'm enjoying the fact that the Spurs can't find a coach. I think I'm enjoying that more. Yeah, so that was a really interesting segment. Are we done?
I was gonna have us pick, but you guys have you've got the screen up here that's a little tiny and I can't read it. So what's the first game there? All right.
So let me zoom in here. Let me see if I can zoom in.
So we got Wales and Denmark.
I love that anyone watching this on video sees both Alex and I leaning in, like, what does it say? Oh, now we can see it. Okay.
All right. So yeah, you've got Wales against Denmark. Denmark has kind of become a favorite because of what they've had to endure. Wales also, this is going to be an interesting one because I think they're kind of batting out of their league. Italy, Austria, it's going to be Italy. I don't know. It's just that should be just Italy. Netherlands against Czech Republic should be pretty scrappy. I think Netherlands will come out with it.
Wouldn't trust anyone coached by what's his face that got fired in Atlanta. Just saying.
Understood. You don't have to trust him, but his team. Portugal, Belgium. Now, Portugal, it was okay. Their group F was insane with what was happening with France, Spain, and Hungary and Portugal. I think they match up pretty well. You would think Belgium has a bit of a advantage with how well they've played so far, but Portugal just has so many pieces that they could throw at them. So, and again, it is the Wolves national team. So I'm obviously going to be rooting for Portugal there. Croatia, Spain. Spain, I think, has not really performed as well as they could. So I'm not sure. I think Croatia could take it. France is walking all over Switzerland. I don't care if they're neutral or not. England, Germany is going to be
in London.
In London, and that's probably what most Americans would watch because those are the two countries that most Americans come from, and so and for a variety of reasons. So I think that's going to be. I you know what? At first, I thought that Germany wasn't going to do as well, England and Germany both have had their ups and downs. That could go either way. Sweden and Ukraine, I think Sweden's going through. I'm not sure they're going to go beyond that, but I think Sweden will go through.
I just want to clarify. Did you just say most Americans come from England and Germany?
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as for where a lot of Americans, as far as like if you look at
like their soccer fandom, is that what
ancestry and so forth. That, yeah, those are the two larger groups. So if Americans were to pay attention to things in Europe, we have a clear line with England, and so and then there's a large, especially out through the Midwest, a large German population there. So it's I kind of think that that's people I talk to that aren't really invested. If they're going to pick one or the other, it's either going to be England or Germany. Or if they follow soccer in the States, it's because they were in the military at one of those two places.
So well, what they're going to do, Jeff, I don't think you understand how this works. What they do is they get their brother to tell them who their favorite bassist is. And they go with whatever team that guy cheers for, and then they make fun of everyone else for choosing a team that's based on some other kind of criteria that's not nearly as authentic as their brother's favorite bassist.
Yeah, I don't know why you're arguing this. That's obviously the best way to choose. I would argue though that the reason people are watching England Germany is because those are the two most watched, along with La Liga. Those three are the big three that are watched. So I think you're going to see the game for Spain and the game for England Germany watched because people watch those overall first divisions in those countries, and because of that you get to know a lot of the players because you know as with England in the Premier League you've got a lot of English players that play in the Premier League, a lot of Spanish players that play in Spain, and a lot of German players that play in the German league. So like, you get to know some of the players more, so you get a connection more with the team. That's would probably be why I would think they'd point in more. All that to say, I think France is going to win the whole thing. So that's my pick.
All right, yeah, I'm sticking with France. I think I had France-Belgium in the final. They're going to have to meet in a semifinal. On the other side, I would it feels like Germany beating England in London is the kind of heartbreaking loss that England is known for.
They'll bring that loss home.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to have Germany. I don't see anyone on this other side that I would think of more than Germany getting to the final on that side. So there you go. France over Germany.
Agree. All right. So in this model, then you've got France and are you guys picking Croatia or Spain?
Spain.
Okay, Spain. I think France is getting by Spain. Belgium, you guys are picking Belgium. I'm picking Portugal. It's definitely going to be Italy. So, honestly, I think that could be the big stumbling block for either one of those. First of all, Belgium and Portugal have to get past each other, and then Italy. So, that's, I think, is the tightest group either way, except for Austria, obviously. But Italy is already shoo-in. So, whoever wins Belgium, Portugal, they've got to fight Italy. That's not going to be easy. Netherlands, Czech, Wales, Denmark. This is not as strong. You know what? I'm going to throw out kind of a wild one that Denmark takes it just on sheer passion. And then I'm going for whoever wins England, Germany. It's going to, well, Adam just got upset with that.
He seemed to have hurt his feelings.
Yeah. He was really going for the Czech Republic. And so, wow, that's going to be rough. So I'm sorry about that, Adam. I know you're really pushing for the Czech Republic there, and I hurt your heart.
So I've got a friend who he grew up in the Czech Republic. He's married to a woman from the Czech Republic. So part of me is rooting for the Czech Republic because of that.
Okay. And then I think whoever wins England, Germany is going to be the last one. So, yeah, I think France. So it would be France, Italy, probably, or France, Belgium. See how it worked. They wouldn't be in the finals because it would be you wouldn't see Belgium and France in the final. You'd see them in the quarters. And the bottom end, it's going to be England, Germany. So honestly, I think it's either going to be France, Belgium, Portugal, one of those three against either England, Germany.
All right.
Okie dokie. Last thing, I don't have a whole bunch of Biggles Wade reportage, but our friends in Hamilton, Ontario, Hamilton Forge, who have the awesome jersey sponsored by Tim Hortons. Hamilton Forge, please send me a kit. I need a donut sponsored kit. They'll be starting this weekend. So actually, I think Sunday. A lot of these Canadian Premier League games are on the Fox Network. I don't know if you guys can hear my dog slurping his water.
Excellent.
So a lot of those games, Canadian Premier League is on Fox, the Fox Network, Fox One, Fox Two. It's a lot of fun. It's very comparable to, say, top level League One, mid-level championship. These are, you know, good professional games, fun to watch. So maybe check some of those out. Jeff, I didn't look to see when your Halifax Wanderers will be playing. So
yeah, they're going to be playing fairly soon. I don't have the schedule in front of me. So I actually voted for them. And the sad thing is because my daughter's in Halifax or in Nova Scotia, is that their kit looks just like another blue kit with a Volkswagen logo on it. So
they don't have Volkswagen anymore.
Volkswagen.
Yeah, but CFC doesn't have Volkswagen
anymore. Okay. All right, so yeah, it's good to go then.
You're good. They're now sponsored by Louisiana. That's what it looks like. It's Louisiana hot sauce, but it legitimately looks like the state of Louisiana is sponsoring CFC now.
Well, that's kind of cool. That's a good sponsor there, I got to say.
Yeah, well, and yeah, Louisiana hot,
especially when you're all about local.
Well, to their credit, Louisiana hot sauce is owned by a company that's about, you know, 45 minutes south of us in Rome. So it is close to here.
I do like Rome.
So. All right. So last thing, what game are you guys watching this weekend that's not the Red Bulls game?
All right. I'm on vacation at my brother's house. We're visiting my brother who says that soccer is a socialist, even though he watches NFL. And I try to remind him that if you are the worst team in NFL, then you're rewarded with a top draft pick. And where if you're the worst team in soccer, in most places, you get booted out of the league. That's very anti-socialist, but that's I'm not sure if I'm going to get one in. The non-USL that I would watch would be the Belgium Portugal.
Yeah, Belgium-Portugal is the one that I'm looking for.
So, for me, it's actually a USL League One game, and it's because I expect North Carolina to get their first victory tomorrow over Richmond Kickers at 7 o'clock. That is the game I'm looking forward to watching.
Spicy.
Wow.
So, programming note, with Jeff being out of town and with family stuff that I have going on as well, I'm sure Adam could just come on and by himself fill 20 minutes of his own thoughts about the
game. I like to talk.
But we're not going to force you to go through that. So we will probably not have an off the post on Saturday, but we will see you guys next week talking about Greenville, talking about, 4th of July, apple pie, baseball, and the soccer game coming up that weekend out in the Midwest. And that's all I got.
All right, on that note,
bye.
There was no big